In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy.
Don't Hello, worry. This is Gail Moskowitz, and you are listening to Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. I've practiced in the Richmond community for 31 years. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health, interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. As you may know, each week on Mental Health Matters, I introduce and discuss a topic, after which you, the audience, have an opportunity to ask questions or weigh in on the subject. Mental Health Matters comes to you every Monday at 1 p.m. on WRIR 97.3 FM. You can listen to the program in real time on the radio or by logging into WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all the past shows, by logging onto my website, Mental Health Matters at web. No, that's mentalhealthmatters.web.officelive.com. I am happy to send you a link to my site if you email me at Your Mental Health Matters. That's the letters U R, mentalhealthmatters@gmail.com, all one word. Also, feel free to send me your comments, questions, or suggestions for a future show. The number at which you can reach us today is 649-9737, 649-9737. So, last week my guest was Dr. Vicki Van Cleve, and we discussed that men and women literally have neurological differences that affect and complicate the way that we communicate with our partners. Today, we are going to continue that discussion, the discussion on gender differences. We're going to continue that discussion with my guest, Dr. Eric Orrett, a clinical psychologist. And he's in general practice, and he treats individual adults and couples. Welcome to Mental Health Matters, Eric.
Thank you, Gail. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, you know, as a therapist, I've clearly seen that men and women take in and process the world differently. I see that this does not just affect, as we talked about last week, communication, but in many other aspects, it complicates the way men, that I see the difference in how men process emotion differently than how women process emotion. Now, you believe that's true, don't you?
Oh, definitely.
How they process and then express emotion. You mm-hmm. see, that is definitely different.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it neurology or socialization?
Yes, it's both. Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that it's both. I had the opportunity to listen to your show and just last week and found it fascinating with Dr. Van Cleve. And it's hard to tell, does socialization follow neurology? Does socialization help create neurology? Don't know. But that's been my focus of interest probably for the last 20 or 25 years is the impact of socialization, and that I can certainly speak to.
So talk a little bit about it. Why? What do we do differently as a society to raise men than we do to raise women?
Well, I think most of your listeners are going to be pretty aware of the differences that occur very early on with children, with boys and girls. And even though I think we've evolved as a society over the last 30, 40 years, probably some things still remain fairly similar.
If you want to talk to Dr. Orrett this afternoon, please give us a call at 649-9737, 649-9737.
Just a little bit of background. This has been an interest of mine since graduate school, which was the late 70s, early 80s, when there was this real focus on sort of a psychology of masculinity, which really was a response to this psychology of femininity, which had happened probably about 10 years prior. So there was a lot of exploration back in those days in the literature about what were the effects of socialization on men. And kind of generally speaking, what people came up with was the idea that men are raised to be separate, intact, self-sufficient, as opposed to women being raised to be in relation with each other and to have those connections all over the place. So it becomes an interesting sort of paradox for men and women to try and have a life together, have a relationship together, when you've got these socialization forces which are very different over the entire course of our life.
So men are raised to feel good about themselves if they're rugged individuals who can sort of do it for themselves. And men and women feel better about themselves when they're in relationship with people. But men seek relationships.
Yes, they do.
Do they seek them differently?
Maybe a question is, what are the reasons that men seek relationships? And
Oh, I have a good question.
Yeah.
What are the reasons that men seek relationships?
Trying to help
and
you
if
out
you
here,
all
Gail.
Have a question, please feel free to talk to Dr. Orr this afternoon at 649-9737. This is Mental Health Matters, and I'm Gail Moskowitz.
I would like to think that men and women seek relationships for some of the same reasons. And this may go back to neurology or just the species, that we want to share our life, we want to connect with someone. It's easier to get through life with another person, with sort of a constant companion. But then when the socialization factors sort of emerge, then it leads to, at the very least, difficulties in communication. Perhaps expectations aren't quite the same. Assumptions about role are not the same, and things like that.
You know, as a therapist, for the first half of my career, I probably mostly treated women, 90% or more. And then when I started treating men in the second half of my career, because I began treating men who had sexual compulsivity, then my caseload became about 90% men and only 10% women. And the men were there because they got caught or their wives threatened to leave them. So why do men come into treatment? Why would they choose that? Why would a man choose to come to therapy?
Well, as you just said, a lot of them don't. They're kind of brought in by the person in their life, the woman in their life, which brings up the whole issue of motivation. So if someone is sort of dragged into therapy, sometimes there's a sort of an ultimatum, either we go to counseling or we're done, then that's a very powerful motivation, often not a particularly helpful one. But I think that there are plenty of men that recognize that there are difficulties in their life, whether just within themselves or within the context of a relationship. They try to fix it. They are not successful. They don't know what else to do. And so they enter treatment. Now, I think it's fair to say that over the past 20 years, we've had a lessening of the stigma attached to therapy. So there is a little less of, well, if a man goes into therapy, he's acknowledging some weakness. He's less than other men. I think it's much more widespread now.
The one thing that I have found treating men, and I'll be honest in that I always felt like it was easier to have relationships with women. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean sexual relationships mm-hmm. because I'm clearly heterosexual, but my relationships with women seemed easier. And treating men in therapy has given me a newfound respect for the lack of permission men have had to feel their emotions, express their emotions, connect with people, and that I used to think it was easier in this world to be a man. But I totally don't believe that anymore. I think that we all have our own issues, according to gender. But I think it's very difficult for a lot of men to hold the burdens that are placed on men and not be able to talk about it or express it.
I think that's true. And if we think of some of the pressures associated with socialization, if in fact men are raised to be self-sufficient, intact, separate, then that's a burden, that's a pressure. And what happens if we don't feel that way, if we have a lousy day? I think part of the issue is that when boys are raised, I'd like to think that we all come bundled with the same range of emotions. But for some reason, boys tend to have those emotions funneled through the one expressive emotion that most people are aware of, and that is anger. So if we feel more vulnerable feelings like anxiety, like sadness, like guilt and shame, embarrassment, those are very difficult feelings to tolerate. And I think that men, more so than women, although plenty of women do this also, convert those more vulnerable feelings into anger, and that's what gets expressed.
So if you're saying that if a man feels frustrated or ashamed of themselves or even afraid, that might get expressed by openly by saying he's by being angry at the person who makes him feel that.
Yes, and I think we need to view men's expressive nature along a continuum, because I'm sure there's some listeners thinking, well, I don't react like that. I express the feeling directly.
That would make them mad to hear that.
So I think that
sorry.
We have the capacity, depending on socialization pressures from the greater society, what happened to our own family of origin growing up, and just who we are as people, to express a range of feelings, easier for some than others. Is this something that can be changed over time? I'd like to think so. I mean, you and I are in the therapy business. That's the business of change. So I think the people have the capacity to look within, and with some guidance and also with a lot of support, can express themselves more fully. But I think there almost has to be a rationale, like, why in the world would I do that? You know, why would I admit to a more vulnerable feeling? And so sometimes in my work with men, that actually is part of the discussion. And so that's a bit of a challenge for me. Well, what is my rationale? Because it's truer to who we are as people, because it helps in the communication with women. The discussions go all over the place.
Well, I also think that if you allow yourself to engage a fuller range of emotions, you feel better. You don't feel as pent up. You don't feel as heartsick. You don't feel as lonely. And we all feel those feelings. Nobody likes those feelings. They're negative. They don't bode well for your life. I don't think that men would seek less happiness in a relationship than women seek.
Right. I would agree with that, except I think, unfortunately, for some men, there's a socialized cost.
If you'd like to ask Dr. Orr a question this afternoon, please feel free to call us at 649-9737, 649-9737. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and I'm Gail Moskowitz.
So if women are raised with the notion that they have a full range of feelings and all feelings are valid and the expression of those feelings are valid because that's been their experience when they express those feelings, whether it's anger, guilt, sadness, fear, happiness, it's responded to well by the other people in their life, then of course that becomes an easier thing to do. But if men have the experience, probably maybe when they're little boys, of expressing feelings that aren't either a sense of resolve and determination or anger, if they cry, then unfortunately some boys still hear big boys don't cry, and that shuts that off. So your notion of, well, certainly the expression of all feelings helps one, you know, it releases a sense of pressure. That makes sense, unless the expression of those feelings were paired with negative kinds of social consequences.
Do you think that in 2010 we are just as likely to tell a little boy that he shouldn't cry than we were in
1950?
Yes, in 1950.
I would hope not, but I fear that it does still happen. Yes.
So, you know, one of the things that I believe deeply is that when you're in a relationship with somebody and you make that person feel bad and they're not willing to claim that feeling, so to speak, did I ever tell you the potato chip story?
No.
It's just such a good it's such a good story. One of the several gentlemen I've dated in my life who didn't turn out to be the one, we went on a little road trip together, and he was a bit overweight, and you know, and I'm pretty compulsive about what I eat, and he was buying potato chips in the middle of the day, and he offered me one, and I said, no, I don't snack, and I don't eat potato chips, and he broke up with me, and he later told me it's because I made him feel absolutely awful, because he couldn't he recognized that if he was going to be in a relationship with me, he was going to feel crappy about his eating habits. He wouldn't be able to eat potato chips, and that was the end of our relationship. It was a very sad moment. But nonetheless, I believe that that happens a lot with people. And do you think that when couples come to see you in treatment, that that's a big part of what you're helping men to do is understand what they feel in relation to their partner?
And to be able to express it.
And
I think those two parts
it.
Are extremely important, because when I listen to the potato chip story.
Yes, well, I did an exit interview. I begged him to tell me what the
problem was.
What the problem was.
And was he able to articulate?
He certainly was.
Okay. But I do think that's part of it, because you think you go from one little comment to that's it, we're done. What's everything that's intervening? It's internal. And to be able to express that, we first need to be able to recognize it. So one of the things that I do with couples when I start to work with them is I present just a very brief sort of communication model. And one of the things I talk about is we have these internal states. We have thoughts and feelings. And we have present ourselves along a continuum of our ability to identify them within ourselves. And then once we're able to identify them, what's our capacity to express them? And it's very interesting because most of the women say, I can identify it pretty easily and I express it pretty easily. Not all, but most. With the men, it's more varied. For some, it's absolutely, I identify it and absolutely I can express it pretty easily. But some say, actually, it takes me a while to identify it. And then if I do identify it, I'm not always sure how to express it. So I think there is some of the difference right there. So it's not just a matter of having feelings. It's being able to identify them and then find a way to express them. Lots of ways to express feeling. We can express anger with an explosion, with throwing furniture around, or we can express anger in a more modulated fashion.
So once you help men to get in touch with what it is they're feeling and then to actually be able to talk to their partner about it, do you see their relief? Do you see them change? Do you see them feel like their life is open more fully to them?
Not right away. I think initially I see some anxiety, because this is kind of new territory for a lot of guys. Not for everyone, and I really want our listeners to understand this. I don't view all men the same. There's so many differences between men. But if we're talking about sort of the stereotype socialization for men, if men are motivated to go to couples counseling because there are difficulties in the relationship, they really want things to be better, and then we start embarking on this sort of communication process, relief is not the first thing I see. Often what I'll see is some worry, anxiety. Am I doing this right? What's going to happen? I feel a sense of vulnerability. I don't even know what that word means, but now I'm talking about it. Those sorts of things.
If you'd like to speak with Dr. Orth this afternoon or ask him a question, please feel free to call us at 649-9737, 649-9737. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we're talking today about gender differences and in the understanding and expression of emotion. So if you, as a male person, for you, do you think that you were socialized not to be in touch with what you were feeling?
Yeah, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and that was really before the advent of the women's movement. So I think that my family was fairly traditional in that regard, and the kids that I grew up with were. So, yeah, I think I had some of the same socialization pressures that I see in the folks that I work with.
And do you today think that you do it differently?
I think I do, but I'll tell
you. Did I tell you that your wife is outside the door and we were going
to? And is listening to this.
Yeah, I was just going to ask her that. Yeah.
She may have a different.
She might have a different viewpoint.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's sort of interesting because, I mean, this is what I do for a living. I work with people and help them, and especially men, express the feelings. And so how good am I at it? I'm getting better.
Do you remember that feeling of the first time a woman sort of said, well, what are you feeling and why are you acting that way? And do you remember what that felt like?
I think that was a while ago, but so I don't remember exactly. But they're not the easiest things to talk about. And again, I think it's a question of familiarity. If women are raised to express feelings and that becomes a big part of the conversation, then there is a familiarity with it. The words come easily. If men are socialized to have experiences with each other's, but they tend to be probably a little more formalized, like sports or focus on a task, then the language to discuss that is very familiar. But to take this area that is not well known to men, I think sometimes we stumble around in our attempt to express.
You know, I don't think that it's really all that easy for anybody to identify what they're feeling and communicate it. I think that it makes everybody vulnerable. I think it makes women vulnerable, too, to say what they're really feeling perhaps isn't going to be heard very well by the other person, or they're ashamed of their feelings, or they wish they were stronger. There's something very powerful about rugged individualism. There's something that women, I think, see as being powerful to hold on to their feelings as well. I also don't think that it's always appropriate to express one's feelings. I think there are times where you got to be a little more resilient and get over it and let things go. I'm not sure that it makes for good relationships to talk about every nuance that you're feeling and thinking. Do you?
No, I agree with you. I mean, every relationship is different, and either extreme is not helpful. Either I don't talk about anything or I talk about everything all the time. And I think nuance is a good word because all relationships are nuanced. You've got the needs and the abilities of two people in a relationship. And how do they mesh? So you do couples work, I do couples work. So we know that oftentimes the issue is where do we find the middle ground? Where do we find the ability to accommodate the other person's needs without losing track of ourself?
So when you have a couple and they're sitting there and you're really trying to help a man come to understand and express his emotions differently, how do you help that woman to take it in? Because I think as women, we're so used to having men not express those feelings. And sometimes what's familiar is comfortable. So how do you help them take it in?
That's a very good question, because sometimes what we hope for is different than what we get. And so if we have a somewhat stereotyped situation where the man is not very expressive, the woman wants the man to be more expressive, he works hard at it, starts to become more expressive, then all of a sudden that may not necessarily be what the woman had expected, both from him and within herself, her response to that. Because remember, I think that men and women also are influenced by the socialization of the other. So that if men are socialized to be separate and intact, women are socialized to think of men that way as well. And so the very thing that you want for, I want you to be more open, I want you to be able to express vulnerable feelings. Now you're starting to, not very manly.
Right. It's not very manly.
Yeah.
So when you are sitting with that couple, how do you get that woman to manage her own anxiety about change?
Well, one of the things that I do is I ask the woman to express what it is she's feeling and where that comes from. Now, this is something that's pretty familiar territory. But so for her to be able to say, well, you know, what was your response to your husband just expressing himself? Hear what she has to say. See where that goes. Help her understand that better.
If you have a question for Dr. Orth this afternoon, please feel free to call us at 649-9737, 649-9737. We're talking about gender differences in the identifying and expression of emotion. And please, Eric, finish.
The question was how to help the woman maybe understand her response to her significant other, male significant other, expressing himself maybe for the first time in their relationship or at a level that would be new for him in that relationship.
So often when I sit with couples, I watch men try to begin to say what their thoughts and feelings are, and the women then immediately tell them that they're wrong and that they don't want to hear what they are saying, and they beg to have honesty, and yet the honesty is really very painful, and they don't want to tolerate it. Yeah. Have you found that?
I have seen that from time to time, certainly, and it's sad because, again, it's what's asked for is then given and is not received. I think it points out to the ambivalence that both men and women have in relationships, that their own needs are often buried and our own abilities to express that are not particularly clear. So we do what we can.
So for you, while you're watching men and women work on this and you're watching them change and you first get the anxiousness of the male and the anxiousness mm-hmm. of the woman and then you move on, is it worth it? Is it worth all the pain and hurt? Do you watch them get to the end of the process and turn out to be better people for it?
Well, as you know, doing couples work, the results are varied. It's very gratifying and fills me with happiness when I see couples make these kinds of changes. And because the end result is a closer relationship, less tension, more comfort, more ability to be there for each other. So sure, when that happens, that's great.
So how would you suggest to a woman who would like her husband to go into therapy with her, how might you suggest her help her to talk him into it?
Talk him into it. Well, it reminds me of the joke.
Or encourage him.
Yes. How many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb?
Okay.
It only takes one, but the light bulb has to want to change. So there has to be motivation, and the motivation can't be we need to go to couples counseling. This marriage is doing very poorly, and if we don't go to couples counseling, I'm going to consider other options. Better to come in and say, we're having trouble seeing eye to eye. Perhaps we could get some help with how we talk to each other. And so that there's benefit for both people. And so when that's a motivation, when it's like, maybe there's some ways to do this where I'm going to feel less in pain, less frustrated, closer to my partner, then the motivation starts to exist and allows for the ability to change.
You know what I believe?
What do you believe?
I think that men want to make their women happy.
I think you're right.
And I think that if a woman says, do this for me, mm-hmm. and if it helps, it helps, I almost think that that is a more powerful motivator.
Initially, but there's got to be
a buy-in at some point.
Yes, exactly.
Dr. Orrett, thank you so much for coming today. Believe it or not, our half hour is over. It's been a wonderful conversation. If you'd like to be in touch with Dr. Orrett, you can reach him at the Westwood Group. It's 264-0966, 264-0966. If you'd like to be in touch with me, please feel free to log on to my website, mentalhealthmatters@web.officelive.com. Thank you very much for tuning in to Mental Health Matters. And this is Gail Moskowitz. And next week, we are going to talk about your problem. So please tune in and call me up and get a little free therapy.
Be happy.